Radio Network.
Tampa Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
Around the world today, it's time to lift you up. It's time to celebrate. Good afternoon, and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers, with love, laughter, and lessons learned. Because you know I got a whole bunch of that stuff.
Yes, ma'am, you do.
And with me, as always, is my best friend, my co-host, and my sidekick, not psychic, Lynn Thornley.
Good afternoon.
How are you today?
I'm doing well.
We had a good week this week. You didn't see yourself on Fox News yet. Only I saw you.
I didn't. Well, no, but I saw you on
the Fox News live part.
No, I didn't see me on the other because I could only watch an hour of Fox News. Well, because I don't the shows.
Yeah. Like, well, it was on all day long. When they came here and had taped us here, it was on all day long for promo.
Did you tape
it? And then it was on live on. At the 4 o'clock
hour. You were very good.
So it was very good. I was very happy about that. And I'll be back in June, too. So that was really good. Because, you know, it delights me because it's just such an opportunity to meet so many more caregivers.
But when will you get to go to the studio? I like going to the studio.
We're thinking maybe next time. We don't know. We'll see. It is different.
Yeah, it's always fun to go in the green room and feel very fancy.
Yeah. And with us today, too, we have Jan Grupp. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Jan is the author of Walking with Mom, a family guide to help a loved one or yourself, which we all need that advice. And we're going to chat with you in a little bit about that. And on the boards today, we have the fabulous, where is he?
He's there. Hey, Ed.
Happy Saturday.
How are you today?
I'm good, good. So the green room, you serve drinks and everything in there or what?
You can buy them in the cooler. That's it.
You bring your own?
Yeah, no, it's not NBC, it's Fox.
But I want to give a shout out to our newest listeners. We have Joan in Atlanta, Georgia. We have Barbie from Sarasota. And we have Sherry from Texas.
Well, welcome, ladies.
So you know what I always say, there's always plenty of room around the caregiving table for new listeners. Whether it's listening to the show live or on YouTube or Facebook or wherever the heck will take you. But I came across this prayer this morning, and I emailed it out to all my caregivers from my support groups and to you this morning. And I think it's worth reading. It's called Caregiver Warrior Prayer. Please help me stay calm, patient, and kind. Please help me be my personal best. Please stop me from taking blame for things beyond my control or putting that blame on someone else. Give me grace under fire, strength when I am weary, and courage when I am scared. Grant me the ability to be in touch with the love that lies in my soul so I may feel it for myself and spread it to those who need it. Let me be grateful beyond measure for this day I've been granted so that I can make it the best of days.
It's beautiful.
You know, and this morning we were just talking before this about being in the moment.
Absolutely.
And being in the moment with our caregiving experience and
everything else.
Yeah, and stopping for a minute and acknowledging ourselves. Caregivers have a really hard time acknowledging themselves. You know, I'm just the faithful spouse. I'm just the good daughter. So if anybody wants a copy of this, they can just email me through the website and I'll get that to you. I think it's a nice little prayer that would be worth repeating once or twice a day. So Jan, let's talk about you and your book. So Arden Quartz introduced us, Marianne Fisher from Arden
Absolutely.
Quartz. Absolutely. And in fact, Arden Quartz is going to be giving away some of your books. So if anybody is interested in winning one of the books, they can either post a comment on Facebook to be put in the drawing, or you can email me through the website, lindaburhans.com. And we're going to draw, I think they're going to give away like 10 books.
Wow.
We'll get the information and we'll get it out to. And I love Arden Quartz and how they support the community and everything we do. It's really a fantastic thing.
It's a real link, I think, for families and people like us.
Yeah, yeah. So tell us a little bit about your background first and what led you to your caregiving journey.
Well, I'm the oldest of four daughters, and probably about 25 years ago, my dad passed away, and Mom kind of wanted to figure out what was going on with the rest of her life and what that meant as a single person. She
How old was she at the time?
68, I believe, somewhere in there. Young, I think, when we look at this caregiving journey,
right,
or thinking about what we need to do as we age to sort of have all the answers. And basically what we both realized is we didn't have all the answers, but we could get most of them figured out at a level that she would be comfortable to proceed. And as you just said to me before, staying in that moment and enjoying everything, because nobody gets out alive.
No, and I love what it says on the back of your book. She credits seat of the pants learning.
It's for sure.
Definitely know about that.
Well, I think what happened with writing this book was after being in the caregiving journey for as long as I was, there was just too much information to not see it somewhere else to help someone else,
right,
if it could. And certainly across 12 years of caregiving for my mom, situations changed, more detail was necessary, but her basic plan kept us going on the right path all the way through. So I think writing this book, and I am a writer by trade. I was a teacher, I was a writer, I worked for newspapers, I did some public relations work, but helping my mom and writing this story was about my mom helping other people as well. So
were you writing during your caregiving experience, or did it happen after your caregiving experience?
It's a good question, Linda. I wrote a little bit during my caregiving experience, but it was primarily at the end of 12 years because I needed a place to dump everything that was going on.
Like a journal?
Yeah.
Like a journal. So so when I got around to writing and organizing this book, it turned out to be in 3 parts. The first part being how my mother and I sat down and put together a plan, which anybody can do.
So important.
So important. And honestly, I think that's one of the biggest messages here, is that it's doable. It's sort of like taking a course in a college curriculum or figuring out your own banking. It's all doable. So that's part one. Part two was living with it, which was an exciting journey.
You lived with her?
I did not live with her, but living with the plan and all the accompanying excitement. How's
Were
that?
You nearby?
I was nearby here in Florida for the last part of it. However, I lived away.
And you
she
did.
And she lived independently with support in her own home until she died.
Oh, wonderful.
Mm-hmm. So that journal, though, became part three.
Yeah.
Because it was this place where I didn't know at the time if I would ever get beyond the journal, but I knew I had to put everything that was going on somewhere, because I also was afraid I would forget, because as we talked about being in the moment, there were moments I just didn't want to give up.
Yeah.
For all sorts of reasons.
Yeah. It's tough.
It is tough, but there
was she ill?
She had Alzheimer's.
Oh, she did.
Mm-hmm.
For the whole time?
Not when we started.
Okay.
But
so what was your plan with her?
The plan with her was that she could live her life privately and
independently.
Yes, absolutely, independently in her own home and enjoy herself. And I would step in as needed in the ensuing years if there were needs or questions or supports that were needed. And neither of us really knew what that meant, other than that she had seen my dad pass away, she had lost a sister, and I think she looked to me, as we were just saying, as a partner, as a Girl Friday, administrative assistant,
that's
you name
my,
it.
My mother, that's what my mother used to say I was, right?
Did she?
Yeah.
Well, see, that's it.
Yeah.
So I asked questions, she made answers, and they were her answers, not mine. And I just couldn't see any reason why it wasn't possible to do it her way for as long as we could.
As you can.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So did she have full-time help in the end?
She really didn't have full-time help until the last couple of months. She graduated from hospice twice over the course of the last 3 or 4 years, and we steadily increased some private support in her home because I wasn't there all the time, and nor did I want to be there all the time, nor did she want me there.
So yeah.
She wanted her privacy. She had a friend who was there a lot, and I credit him certainly with a lot of years of support at times when other people were not there.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'll tell you, when people come into my support groups, the first two things they say is, my life wasn't supposed to be this way, and what happened to my family and friends? Because a lot of friends take for the hills. They don't know how to deal with it, they don't know how to respond, they don't know how to do what, and they don't know how to help, they don't know how to do anything. And then caregiving can be very lonely.
I think I was very blessed that I had some very good friends that I could turn to, and I have a very supportive family, my nuclear family, and not so much with some of my siblings, but
together. And aren't you happy you didn't have to take care of Mom during COVID?
I am.
Because I'm telling you, it's a tough enough job as it is, and I see what some of my caregivers are going through now, and it's unbelievable.
Well, they got to take their masks off this week, though. So.
Isn't that exciting? I'm finally
way exciting.
Finally watching The Good Doctor. It started, I couldn't watch it. Everything was COVID, 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 and I just said, I don't want to look at it.
Yeah.
That's why I watch HGTV and building houses and
it's
happiness.
Much more cheery.
Yeah. It's got to be too much, I think, but now it's fabulous.
All right, so tell us about the end of Mom's life and then how the book starts.
My mother continued to decline over teeny tiny increments for 12 years. So that's a long time, just right there. And I would come in and out of town. She referred to me sometimes as her human tornado because I would come in and with a flourish and I guess a breeze behind me, I was there to take care of paperwork or make appointments and move us in the right direction for additional support, things like that. And then as her skill set continued to decline, she needed more and more support. I had family dissension, which I think is common in about 50% of the cases. From what I hear, I used to informally poll my friends because a lot of us of a certain age are pretty much doing the same thing, and we're trying to figure it out. And you know, I had a couple of very good friends who didn't have any issues, and I would repeatedly say how blessed they were because we had disagreements, and they weren't so much about my administration, if you will, but they were about my mother's choices. And this is what I couldn't get. And it was probably the biggest crack in the whole system of care management for her is that there were people who didn't understand that this wasn't my choice of what was going on, but it was hers.
Yeah. And I think it's so important to respect their choices.
Absolutely.
As long as we can.
Well, and I think, honestly, part of my most difficult time was where I wasted a lot of time trying to help these people understand that this was my mother's choice of circumstance, and they didn't like that.
Yeah, sorry.
And I did have one hospice social worker early on said something to me like, well, you can't change people. They don't, you know, hard times don't make people better. Hard times make people worse. So it was a thought that resonated, but it took me more than a couple years to stop trying to help people understand because I kept holding out hope that all of a sudden a light bulb would go on and they'd go, oh, you got this. You're doing it the way Mom wants it. Well, it was always about Mom.
Did they have an education about what was going on?
I think personally they were resistant to the fact that of four of us, one of us was chosen. And they would come to me, early on, a couple of them came to me and said, we think, meaning two of them, not four. There were two of us on one on Mom's side and the other two on Mom's side, but their side first, if you will. So I think they really expected to be making her decisions. And I kept saying, you don't understand this because I'm not making her decisions. She already made her decisions. We're just living this out as good as we can.
Yeah, and she made her decisions when she could make her decisions.
Absolutely.
Which is so important because so many times we avoid those conversations. Mom doesn't get to do or have what she wanted because she didn't have that conversation.
And I think that that's one of the points I make in this first section of the book, too, where I describe how it is that people can, in fact, influence and optimize their final years by just a little bit of work on the front side, saying some things about what kind of care they want or how they want to live and understanding their finances and being able then to kind of go on pressing an easy button if, and believe me, I don't refer to this as an easy road, but their plan is in place. So that when things aren't so easy, there's always this backup resource of a plan.
Yeah, yeah. But the conversation is so important.
The conversation is where it starts, and it has to,
and
you know,
start when they're healthy.
Absolutely.
Really.
Well, and it can start across the table at Thanksgiving.
Yep.
It can start.
Everybody's getting together after COVID.
It can start in a drive-through. While you're waiting for your food, you know, if Mom says something about a friend, you've got an opening. If Mom says it's getting hard to get shoes on, whatever, you got an opening. And you have to, as that other person, as that care support person, you really have to be paying attention.
You really have to listen.
Yeah, you do have to listen. And then you have to be able to move beyond what we all know are our own feelings about things. I was very fortunate that my feelings matched my mother's. Not so much for other people, but that's how it goes sometimes.
Well, you know what?
That's why she chose you.
Yeah.
I've heard that before, multiple times, including from care staff and home placement, support nurses, hospice. And I never thought of it that way initially at all. I was just there going to help her figure this out.
Right, but she
for
still
her.
Makes her choice.
She you know, knew a whole lot more than I did, I think,
exactly.
Back then.
Well, Linda's from four children also. She has, well, one brother, three sisters, and her mother. We never thought she'd come to Florida. I used to say, we're getting you to Florida. I would never live there, but when she was failing, Linda's the eldest also. So she said, I'm coming to Florida, which was a big shock, wasn't it?
Yeah. But you know what's really good now through the whole thing is my sisters and I have had conversations about us and about what's going to happen with us and about what we want and what we do, you know, while we're all still healthy, at least have the conversation. And like you say, my one sister, she's like, you'll never be my healthcare surrogate, Linda.
That's okay.
Yeah, she won't be mine either. You know, Lynn's mine because Lynn will pull the plug. My sister will be plugged in for 25 years. You know, and
exactly.
And that's just fine, though. Yeah.
That's fine if that's what she wants.
Now.
But
absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're kind of to our dogs. This holding on, no brain waves or that, I don't get. But the Catholic religion, some people feel...
Yeah, and everybody can have their choices, but I need to talk about my choice now so that when it comes to the end, it's not a surprise.
No,
it's
and you've told them, because otherwise Stephanie would be pulling the plug, you know, away from me. Because she's very firm about
to
it.
To keep you plugged in.
But that's fine, so you have to know who's your person.
You do. And that's, again, back to the book. I mean, part of one of the chapters is about finding that second self, that person who either agrees completely with you or at a very...
Gets it.
Exactly. It has the respect and the dignity of conscience to honor exactly what you want as the senior.
And what the last thing you always want to do is respect your mother. Come on.
It's a great conversation for Mother's Day, isn't it?
Yeah.
Around May.
Yeah.
I can tell you, when my husband passed, he was cremated. And one daughter, who they'd been estranged, but they were okay again, was good, put up such a fuss. He wanted to be in his uniform. He was supposed to have this, and we were supposed to have the procession. And I said, you know, this is what he chose. And yeah. They were mad, but... Well, I was in charge, so.
But really,
but that's what he wanted.
Mm-hmm. And you knew what he wanted.
Yeah, he mm-hmm. wanted that other thing when he was married to his first wife, and that they were going to have a Macy's Day Parade or something. But we didn't have that.
Things change. Yeah. All right, right now it's time to hear from our wonderful partners, because you know the deal. If you don't hear from them, you don't hear from me. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. So I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and 4 theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Everyone at one time or another experiences so much stress, physical, emotional, and mental, that their brain seems to freeze in place. Lauren McLaughlin has been an emotional support coach for over 25 years and was also a caregiver for her husband John for 10 years. Emotional support coaching for caregivers is all about having the freedom to say out loud, without fear of judgment or criticism, all the random thoughts that have gone in and out of your mind. Many caregivers receive enough help in one session to create their own healing plan. Others may want a bit more coaching, but Lauren McLaughlin has a maximum limit of 3 sessions. If you sincerely want to build a new future, that much coaching will be more than enough. All sessions are on Zoom for 45 minutes. Contact Lauren by email at godbless@tampabay.rr.com to set up an appointment for your caregiver support coaching session. Caregiver support sessions were previously priced at $45. They are now available to our listeners on a love offering basis. You decide what price you want to pay for your personal session.
I see trees of green,
red roses too.
I see them blue
for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
A Okay, caregivers, now it's time for the caregiver affirmation. Take a minute. Take a deep breath. Sit down. Close your eyes if possible and just listen to these words. I know on my journey there is help and hope. I affirm that I am a good caregiver, that I try my best each day, and I recognize that I deserve to have my own needs met just as much as those for whom I care. I promise I will not allow myself to be consumed by my caregiving role, and I will set aside time in my busy schedule just for me. I am mindful of the other caregivers in my life, and I will let them know that I appreciate their efforts. I am grateful for the people that walk beside me. I will take good care of my own health physically and spiritually, drink enough water, eat quality foods, allow for time to rest and to exercise, laugh often, if only at myself, and seek medical attention for my own health concerns. I am who I am, and I allow others to be who they are. Today I will add one item to my assisting angels list. Then if someone calls to say, let me know if there's something I can do, I will be ready to accept their offer and provide them with the opportunity to assist me. It is an honor to be of service of others, and I will not deny my friends and family this honor. Okay, think about it, caregivers.
So you know what's really cool about that is now we got to take our masks off, and now we have opportunity to help each other more. Because of the whole COVID thing was very difficult. Mm-hmm. You couldn't really go over to people's houses, but this is the time now you can go to a neighbor and you can say, maybe your mom would like to go for a walk with me. Or this is the time you can just go over and sit with the person for a couple of hours while their loved one just gets a little break, because some of our caregivers have been isolated and taking care of their loved ones 24/7 because there was no other opportunities. They were taken out of adult daycare. Some were even taken out of communities because they weren't able to see their loved ones. So there's a lot going on right now. And so more than ever, you have the opportunity to help somebody out. You know, and I remember when my mom passed away, I met a friend in the supermarket and she said, how you doing, Linda? And I said, I'm okay. And she said, you know, I'm sick of hearing that from you. And I said, what? And she said, when you were taking care of your mother, you stole my joy. I said, I did what? And she said, I could see you swimming in quicksand, and every time I asked to help you, you said, no, I'm okay. So you never gave me an opportunity to meet your mom, spend time with your mom or anything. I was like, oh my goodness.
I think she should have told you this while it was going on, and then she could have met her.
Yeah.
Well, I dump on you. Oh, I'm sorry.
But the truth is, don't steal someone's joy. If they want an opportunity,
they should take it.
Give them,
yeah, and
give it to
encourage
yourself.
Encourage them. Yeah.
Because it's good for your loved one and it's good for you. Do we have Lauren's on the line?
I am, Linda.
Hello, my friend. How are you today?
I'm just fine. Fascinated by listening to your guest tell her story.
Yes,
thank you.
It's very interesting. It's very good. We'll have to get you one of her books.
Yes, and I hadn't heard of the book, so I'll have to see that I get it.
Yes.
I was interested in her line that said when she finished writing the book or got ready to write the book, she needed to dump everything that had happened for that whole period of time. But then she went on to say that she did have a good support system she could talk to. Everyone does not.
And that's where you come in, right?
I hope so, and particularly everything that she experienced and I experienced was exacerbated by the pandemic.
Yeah.
And we'll now have a different set of kind of reactions as the pandemic dies down and we try to pick up where we think we remember we left off.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people realize, I know during this pandemic time, I took a little decline myself, but I can get over it. Many of the loved ones that were being cared for took a decline. They're not getting over it. Then, you know, they're not coming back to anywhere where we were. And I think some caregivers are only going to find that now that they have the opportunity to actually see their loved one, hug their loved one, touch their loved one.
Which is a new kind of relief. And it also means that more helpers can come in and in an informal way other than the professional helpers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's a good thing.
You know, I have a caregiver that I was just speaking to yesterday, and so she finally got to see her mom, and like I said, she got to hug her, and her mom's lost weight and all this stuff, and now the caregiver, Lauren, I got to tell you, is going through so much guilt.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Like,
no, from not being able to,
fault,
yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's not her, wasn't her fault, but
No, and I think that, to me, is about awareness, again, that, you know, that whole year passed, whether they were together or not together. And a year is a long time when we're talking about decline.
Yeah.
And care.
Well, everyone's story and everyone's situation is so different.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some tools to help to relieve that guilt a little bit, because some, and most of it is really not necessary except to the person who's feeling it. And they need some help in releasing it.
And I think sometimes they just need some help admitting it.
Yeah, and talking about it.
Yeah.
When you can't say what you're really thinking, because it isn't a nice thing to say, and there's nobody you can say it to. It takes a long, long time to get over that. And I do offer that. As a minister ordained, I am just like talking to your doctor. I can't, or nor would I want to, but I can't anyway, by law, repeat anything unless you tell me you're abusing someone or being abused or
right. Somehow
or other have an odd factor. Anything anyone says to me just is like blowing it into the wind. Nobody will ever hear it again.
Yeah.
So if they want to swear at me or swear at God or swear at the world, they can do that and get it out of their system.
Yeah.
On the other hand, if they want to be grateful for the opportunity to serve their patient, in spite of their fatigue, they can express that also.
Yeah. You know, I was speaking to a caregiver yesterday, and she's just having a struggle with some stuff, and she said she is not really into journaling. She just can't get into it and anything. So after we were chatting for a little while, when I hung up the phone, I was thinking for myself, what if I was, like, having a hard time journaling, but I felt I needed to get something out? And I said, instead of sitting down right now and making a list of things I'm grateful for, I'm going to make a list of things that make me happy.
Yeah, good.
Read a book, take a walk, have a laugh, whatever.
Hear bird song.
Yeah, and just as I wrote that list, I felt better.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Just writing a list.
There are people you can express gratitude to also, not necessarily family members or close people, but authors and TV performers and the guy at the grocery store that always makes you laugh when he puts your groceries in the car. You know, you have people in your life that bring you joy as well as things and activities.
Yeah. That, once again, means paying attention.
It does. Totally. Finding that joy in the moment. And I can tell you, even my mom used to absolutely hate the color of one of the houses in her neighborhood. We'd drive by and it was like a bright yellow-orange house, and I just hate that color, she'd say. And I'd say, okay, you know. And I still laugh about it, because that was, you know, apparently it was a hard thing for her to see that color. And
she didn't like it.
She didn't like it, and she got to say it, and it was that was her hard moment, and I could acknowledge it, and we'd go on.
Yeah.
So
I would have handed her a can of spray paint. Go for it, Ma.
And you have to have a laugh.
You do. You had to laugh. And again, talk about a caregiver tip, right? We all have to laugh.
Yeah.
We have to cry, we have to yell, but we have to laugh, because if you don't
laugh, you feel good.
You can't, yeah.
Yeah.
That's about self-care, big time, as well as caring for others. So,
well, Lauren, thanks so much for calling in today. I'm really hoping that our caregivers contact you for some counseling or for some venting or for whatever they need, and then get you at godbless@tampabay.rr.com.
Yes, and just remember that I do not charge anyone who doesn't want to feel able to pay, so anyone can call.
All righty.
Very nice.
Thanks, Lauren.
Bye-bye.
Have a delicious day.
Nice lady.
You too.
Do we have another caller on the line?
Yeah, Bernice from Canada.
Oh, jeez.
Hey, Bernie.
It's Bernice.
Hey, Bernice.
They're starting to open up. I wish we could in Canada. I wanted to talk to you about, you were saying about laughter is the most important. My mother's 99, as you know, and laughter is the most important thing. But when you were talking about one sibling is always the caregiver, and the others usually make it difficult for you, because I think partly they feel guilty they're not doing it, or they don't want to do it, and you're doing it, and that makes them feel bad. But my mother, with all her sense of humor, always wants me to make them feel better that they're not doing the right thing.
You must laugh a lot about that, right?
Yeah, it's very funny. And then when I reach out, they just bong me again, and I don't know how to get across to her that I'll do anything for her, but can she stop making the request that I make them feel good? I don't know how to handle that.
I think you just accept the request and then do your own thing. I really do. You can, yeah,
I
you're
agree.
Not going to, yeah, I don't think you need to do any,
it.
Yeah, you don't. You already know the answer or the response, so.
And just say to her, good idea, Mom.
It's a great idea.
Hi, Bern.
That's good. I didn't think of that. It's a good idea.
Good.
I'm trying to do that.
Good. I'm glad I could help.
Well, thanks so much for calling in, my friend, and give your mom a great big kiss for me.
Love the show. You guys are great. Thank you.
We miss you.
Bye. Me too.
Bye.
Bye. Love you.
Bernie actually went to high school with Lynn.
Oh. In Canada.
And so one day a bunch of her girlfriends from Canada came down for like a week. So
who
we
hadn't
all
seen
met
in 50
everything.
Years.
Yeah.
We're doing the same thing, actually. It's in the works right now.
So fun.
Picking up where you left off, sort of. And yet all this time in between, right?
Well, you know, the funny thing is meeting them, it was like I just left them over the weekend.
Exactly
because we,
right.
You know, your core is, it's when you're in high school. You know, you've got your rights uh-huh. and your wrongs and I love them.
How yeah. interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fabulous thing. Yeah. A fabulous thing. All right, let's get back to your...
What did
someone locked the door again.
Oh, my God.
Ella's mad. I'm sorry. I come
Lynn
in.
Has a habit when she comes in the station, she just locks the door behind her like it's her house.
Because I do it at home all the time. And when he's doing this, I said, oh, did I curse? Did I do
that's
something?
What I thought.
But no, yeah, I'm sorry. Oh, Ed, I did it again. But did you see I got my microphone right in front of me? I'm being good with that. You got to go in first from second from now
yeah.
on.
All right, Jan, let's talk a little bit more about the book. Let's talk about the third part of the book.
Well, the third part is that journal, and it was toward the very end. In the last 6 months of my mom's journey, when I would come home exhausted, I decided I could sit down and dump on my computer. It wasn't going anywhere. It was just this little time for me to give as much or whatever was making me crazy at that particular moment to a machine, and yeah. then I would go to sleep. And it was such a healing exercise.
Yeah, because you got to dump it.
I used to write letters, but not with Jack, but from my divorce before. I write letters, and I found them later, and I went, ooh, you weren't very happy back then. But it made me feel better.
Because you got it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I think when you find it later, it makes you feel better to see how far you've come.
Yes.
You know, like, wow, I really did do pretty good after that.
Well, and that's what I said to you before we started the show today, is that I feel different now that it's finally out. As I wrote it and as I went back to it to look at it about whether or not to include it, I had moments where I thought, oh, this is so angry, it's so dark, and I kept trying to take some of that anger out, and now there's no anger at all.
Yeah.
So
did your family read it?
I don't know.
Well, one sister?
Well, one sister has looked at it, and actually my kids have read it. My oldest read it, and he said, you know, I was there as you were going through this, but I didn't really know how difficult some of those things were,
That was very nice.
It was. It was a huge compliment to understanding what I went through.
Especially from your child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty special thing.
I think the most special thing is your granddaughter, because Linda had them, and they didn't have any money at the time, and, you know, food pantries and that, because she's dumb. And her granddaughter said to her just a year or so ago, I never knew we had no money.
Right.
I never knew we had tough times. I said, yeah, we did for a little while. She goes, I didn't know. I go, good, you weren't supposed to.
Yeah. You
know?
That was a
exactly.
big compliment.
Well. Yeah, that was a big compliment to me. But I'll tell you another caregiver that I was chatting with this week. So she has issues with her siblings.
Okay.
And there's always, they're telling her what she should do and what she shouldn't
exactly.
do. And they end up texting and emailing each other back and forth and back and forth. And it's just not good. So what she decided now is, She types out the whole email, everything she wants to say to her sister, whatever anger she is and everything, and then she deletes it.
Yeah, that's the best way.
And then she deletes it. She goes, like, get it off my chest. I don't go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Because sometimes we put ourselves in that own little twist, you know, because we can't get out of it. It's not important.
Yeah, that was totally part of the problem.
I don't want to spend my time fighting with my sister. I want to be there for my mother.
I think your mother was the best. So she, when her mom passed, her mother used to write shorthand so they wouldn't know what she was writing down.
Yeah. We found a book. My mother must have placed a personal ad.
I think Stephanie did it for her.
That's when you put it in the newspaper,
sure,
though.
Sure.
So she had a spiral notebook. So on the left-hand side, she would have the letter stapled. That's when they sent the letter. And on the right-hand side, she had all the notes in shorthand. My sister says, we need to learn shorthand. I said, no, Mom wrote it in shorthand for a reason. And then we turned the one page, and there was just a big X to the letter. We said, oh, we knew that one wasn't too good.
That wasn't a good one. Right.
But, yeah.
That was funny.
My grandchildren won't be able to read half of my journals or anything because they don't know how to read cursive. They don't know how to write cursive.
I can't believe kids don't learn that.
My grandson's learning now in Tarpon at Sunset Hills, so I'm excited to know that.
But most schools don't teach it.
I
right?
think it's coming back.
I
though.
Hope so.
I but
think
they don't know how to sign their names. It takes them forever.
When my grandson signs his paycheck, it's like, it's like we just go, you know, we're done. He's got to really pay attention because he doesn't write cursive. Hmm.
And isn't it with the clocks? Because they all have numbers on them and they don't know how to read a watch or a clock.
Well, I said something to my grandson a couple weeks ago. He was in the truck with his friend. I said, get a piece of paper. I want you to write this down. He goes, paper? We don't use paper, Grandma. I go, here's a piece of paper. Wait a minute. Give me a pen. Well, we don't have a pen. I go in the house. I get a pen. I come. I write on the piece of paper. I go, here, you could keep this pen. They go, oh, it has a stylus on it. That's all they wanted. They don't write with the pen. They just use the stylus. Hmm. Whatever. All right. Oh, it's time to hear from our wonderful partners, so don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Care.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out.
Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and 4 theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network.
You know what that means? It's time to get your pen and paper because Lynn's got good stuff to tell you, right, Lynn?
I finally got some live ones, too.
Because we're live. Yes, thank you. Finally.
To RSVP for any of the following Zoom events, please go to lindaburhans.com. Send Linda a message and she will send you the link. Now, this one's going on right as we speak. From 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. today, Veterans Funeral Care is having a military vehicle show at 8:30 North Belcher Road in Clearwater. There are vendors, barbecue, 50-50 raffles. Admission and parking are free, but an unwrapped toy to donate to the Operation Toy Soldier would be appreciated.
Yeah, Chuck's going the other day.
He is.
Yeah, he loves all that stuff.
Oh, wonderful. And they're going to have all of the vehicles there, right? All right, then on Wednesday, May 19th, from 2 to 3:30 p.m., the Disability Achievement Center invites you to come. That's the same place. Oh, at 12552 Belcher Road South in Largo to cheer the cyclists who are riding from Miami to Tallahassee, raising awareness for people with disabilities. And you will be there.
Yeah, I can't wait to go there because last year it was virtual. So they rode their bikes virtually in their dorm rooms at the colleges, but put in the amount of miles or whatever. So all these young men that I met via Zoom last year, they were just so fabulous. I'll get to meet them in person this week, so that'll be fun.
Totally great.
Yeah.
And then on Tuesday, May 25th at 9 a.m., Senior Circle, co-hosted by Linda Burhans, is hosting a Zoom event inviting seniors to share their love stories. The deadline for sign-up is May 18th because there's only 10 places, I imagine.
I think we have 4 filled so far.
So get on it. At Veterans Funeral Care in the Officers Club at 8:30 North Belcher in Clearwater from 6 to 7:30 p.m. on the last Thursday of every month starting on May 27th is a Reiki exchange. Reiki practitioners, Reiki masters, or anyone interested in learning or receiving healing is welcome.
Okay, and I got one last one. It's tomorrow, May 17th. It's a Zoom. It's called Understanding Parkinson's Disease and Nutrition. I just signed up for it myself. So it's this Monday. So if you're interested in that, just email me through the website and I will send you the link. Okay, Jan.
Yes.
What's the last thing? Well, what's the most important thing my caregivers need to hear from you?
I think two-part answer, if I may. One is that this journey is such a privilege when you pay attention. And despite the hardship, there are words that resonate and continue to resonate with me for being part of it. Words like determination and perseverance and love and honesty, honor. How about truth and exasperation, too? Because acknowledging those things about this path are part of your growth and your ability to be there for someone who needs you.
And I think it gives us the opportunity, too, to think about what we want in the future.
I think that's...
Because we've been caregivers now, and we know those questions came up that my mom didn't know, or that didn't know needed to be addressed.
Well, and like I said to you at the start of this, you know, the fact that she wanted to put a plan together for herself was sort of... innovative, I thought, at that time. Yes.
She was young to do that.
Well, she was young, but she was a widow. And, you know, I had 3 kids in 3 schools and, you know, my own family circumstance to fiddle with. And I thought, well, sure, if we can get this figured out, it'll make things easier. I don't know what these answers are. And then I thought, too, we've got this plan. Doesn't that make it easy?
Yeah.
Well, heck no, it didn't make it easy. It just made it doable.
Yes. Yes, doable.
Oh,
you
doable.
Know, a friend of mine, Brian LeBlanc, he's living with Alzheimer's.
Okay.
And he actually made a video for the people that are going to be taking care of him in the end, saying, when I wake up, I want my coffee right away. I don't like to have breakfast. I have to go out every day. You know, I love the Beatles or whatever it is. Not every Beatles song, but just these. So I think fabulous that he's doing that.
Yeah.
Because he will not be able to communicate himself what his wishes are and whatever, but he's smart enough to think about it now and let me get this in place. I think that's brilliant.
I do too.
And I think we all should do that.
That's really...
Yeah.
Those are specifics. And even without specifics, you still can help individuals get where they need to be on those final days.
And what's the closest thing to your heart that you took from your caregiving experience?
I think it is the magic of spirit beyond our human existence.
Yeah.
That my mom's journey brought me closer to the other side than I ever thought possible. But I think that's part of what we learn by being there and paying attention.
Well, it's kind of, when my mom passed away, I didn't feel so much like that she passed away. I felt that I helped birth her into a new life.
I saw my mom standing at the door of her house after a prayer of transmission, if you will. She was on her way out and shooing me out the door so she could get going.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Your kids know what you want?
My kids do know what I want. They're not ready to listen to it because I'm still young.
But it's written down.
You know, it forced us, my husband and I both, to assemble, if you will, some things and get ourselves to a point where we feel fairly ready to not pass the torch, certainly, but offer enough of a roadmap that somebody could jump in and ride shotgun with us.
And, you know, while we're talking about this, too, please, please, please keep in mind, get your documents in order.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't get your documents in order, something happens, the state's going to make your decisions. That's the last thing that you want.
Well, and those documents are the foundation. Everything. We were talking about the Beatles. I used the Fab Four. Well, those documents to me were the Fab Four. Because you could add more than four, but those big four are...
Right.
Are huge.
You gotta have it.
Make sure that if you come from another state to Florida, that you have them redone once you're here.
Yeah.
Because you have to have Florida ones.
But it's so important. I mean, we got power of attorney for my granddaughter. She got married and moved to Germany. What if something happens to her in Germany? We wouldn't be able to talk to anybody. So these documents are important all
big
the time,
deal.
Not
big,
just
big
when
deal.
You're 65 years old or whatever. That's what people think. I don't have to think about the documents till then. But it's really, and like I say, anybody could get in a car accident or anything. You don't know what's going to happen.
Well, and it was, honestly, I just had this discussion with my brother-in-law because he is a new widower. And I said, get them done.
Yep,
get those
get
paperwork.
Yep.
It's never going to get easier to get
right.
them done.
And once you do it, it's done.
It's done.
It's just done.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. All my caregivers, you know how much I love you and I appreciate you. I know it's really tough sometimes to sit down and listen to the whole show in one shot, but you know you can listen to the recordings whenever you want. Tune in again next week for some fabulous guests. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.
Close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night.